good to see everyone here this morning. To our visitors, we're so thankful that you have decided to come worship God with us this morning. To our members that were sick, we're so glad that you're able to be back with us. I'm excited to stand before you this morning to proclaim a lesson from God's Word, and I appreciate this opportunity. Have you ever been told the expression, "Don't let your emotions get the best of you"? It's a very simple concept, but to put it into action can be hard. When emotions get the best of us, we get caught up in the moment, and that slows us down. We're not as productive. So this morning, our objective is to first examine the Word of God and see how and what causes these problems that we face. And secondly, finding the solutions to fix these emotional problems that we have. Please get your Bibles out and turn with me to the book of Philippians. Book of Philippians chapter 4 is where we'll start. Philippians 4, we'll start reading in verse 4. It says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence and anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things." It's a simple idea. So simple, it's obvious. But yet the ramifications are far-reaching. Our thoughts have an impact on our emotions. And Proverbs 12:25 says, "Anxiety in a man's heart weighs it down, but a good word makes it glad." Anxiety causes depression. Likewise, encouragement causes happiness. Just a couple pages over in Proverbs 15:13. Says, "A joyful heart makes a cheerful face, but when a heart is sad, the spirit's broken." So we see the heartache causes discouragement. And then in Luke 24, verses 36 through 38, we see the disciples' fear arose from their doubt within their hearts when Jesus appeared to them after the resurrection. And in Mark 14, verse 72 said, tells us, when Peter remembered that he would deny Christ, that when Peter remembered the words of Jesus, it caused him to grieve. So the Bible teaches us that what we think about and what we focus our minds on influences our emotions and how we react to them. I'd like to say that this does not discount people that have medical problems, which causes their minds to overreact to situations. It's not what I'm talking about. However, for the majority of us, it's the way we think and what we think that influences our emotions. Think about this statistic for a moment. The average person, anxiety is focused on 40% of the things it will never happen. And of the 30% of those things are in the past that we can't change, we have no control over. 12% is about criticism by other people. 10% is about the health. We have anxiety about our health, which gets worse the more we stress. And the small 8% is about the real problem that we face. So the question becomes, how? How can we eliminate some of these emotional problems that we face? The first thing is, we can change our thoughts. It's an important point because God teaches us that we have control over our thoughts. Since we have control over our thoughts, we must put this as the first step into working on the emotional problems that we face. Turn with me to the book of Ephesians. Book of Ephesians, we'll start reading chapter 4. Ephesians 4:17 says, "So this I say and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer as the Gentiles walk, also in the futility of their minds, being darkened in their understanding, excluding from all the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their hearts. And they, having become callous, have given themselves over to sensuality for every practice of every kind of impurity from greediness. But you did not learn Christ in this way. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him, just as the truth is in Jesus, that in the reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit, and that you will be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Put on the new self, which is the likeness of God, having been created in the righteousness and the holiness of truth." And Jeremiah 14:4 says, "Wash your heart from evil, O Jerusalem, that you may be saved. How long will your wicked thoughts lodge within you?" Isaiah 55:7 says, "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the righteous man in his thoughts." So we need to leave the unrighteous thoughts behind and seek God. So we're clearing out in our mind these thoughts. So naturally, we're going to fill it back in. Turn with me to the book of 1 Peter. Peter will tell us what we should fill our minds up with. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13 says, "Therefore, prepare your mind for action. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace that has been brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Jesus says in Matthew 22:37, a familiar verse for most of us, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind." Take depression, for example. Solomon tells us in Proverbs 12:25, "Anxiety in a man's heart weighs it down." And Jesus encourages us all to not be anxious. Turn with me to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, we'll start reading verse 25. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. "For this reason I say to you, Do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what it will put on. Is not life more than food, and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into the barns. Yet the heavenly Father feeds them. And are you not worth much more than they? And who are you, being worried, can add a single hour to his life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the fields grow. They do not toil, nor they spin. Yet I say to you that even Solomon, in all of his glory, clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the fields, which is alive today, and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Do not worry, then, saying, whatever we eat, what will we drink, what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added onto you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble for its own. So we see that having anxiety is a useless way of thinking, because God will take care of us. He'll give us what we need. And worrying will not change the outcome. Most of us remember when we were in school, we all took tests. And when we took tests, we had control over our tests. We had a pencil, we had a paper. We could fill in the right answers. But once we gave the paper back to the teacher, that's it. That's as far as we can go with that. Worrying does not change the wrong answers on your paper to the right answers. If that was the case, I would have had better grades in school. But that's the point. Worrying, there's so much more things we can do with our time besides worrying. Paul tells us how to overcome anxiety. Like we read before, let's go back to Philippians 4. We'll reread verses 4 through 8. Philippians 4, verse 4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known main to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence in any of these things worthy of praise, dwell on these things. This is very... Paul wrote this letter while in prison. So if anyone that had calls to be concerned for his life, to have some anxiety and depression for being in prison, it was Paul. But yet, Paul wrote to the church here, and he encourages them to let go of anxiety. In Acts 41, giving you a background, the apostles were just at the Council of Gamaliel. And verse 41 in chapter 5 says, so they went out of their way from the presence of the council rejoicing that they have been considered worthy to suffer for his name. When they were handed lemons, they made lemonade. They chose to think about the benefits rather than the current situation. Turn with me to 1 Peter 4. Starting in verse 12. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you from your testing, as though some strange things were happening to you. But to do the decree that you shall share the suffering of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that you will also at the revelation of his glory, that you may rejoice with exaltation. So, keep telling us that when these situations are come and our emotions, our blood's pumping and our anxiety, we're not thinking fully clearly, that we need to rejoice. And one of our greatest tools for this is the avenue of prayer. To tell God what our needs are, and God will give us support. In 1 Peter 5, verse 6 says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all of your cares upon him. Let me first say, this is not saying that our problems that we're going through will just go away. But it does mean that we do not have to be overwhelmed by our trials. Once we bring the changes of our thought process and we rejoice, it brings us peace. Especially with prayer. The same peace David talks to us, wrote in Psalms 23, in verse 4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. So when we can sing songs like, it is well with my soul, we can sing it in confidence. As we bring this lesson to a close, here are four takeaways that we can take home with us and use it in our lives to help deal with these problems that come up. First, we've learned that our thoughts have a huge impact on our emotions. We've also learned that we can change our thought pattern. Once we change our thought pattern, we realize anxiety is a waste of time. Jesus says, as we already read in Matthew 6:27, who of you, being worried, can add a single hour to his life? So worrying does not accomplish anything. It slows us down. When the problems come, we need to rejoice. In 1 Peter 4:12, beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trials to which try you, as though some strange things has happened to you, but rejoice in the extent that you partake in the suffering of Christ, that when his glory is revealed, that you may be glad with exceeding joy. And when we are persecuted, our greatest tool that we have is prayer. 1 Peter 5:6 says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting upon him for him every care. Thank you so much for your attention this morning. I hope this has been beneficial to you. Please get out your songbooks. If you are suffering from anxiety this morning in a spiritual sense, this very hour, are you confident in your salvation? I know before I became a Christian, I remember laying in bed at night thinking, what if my life wasn't today or tonight? I'm not promised tomorrow. But I'd always would think about that, and it would cause me to think, stay up later than I should have, and just worried me sick. Maybe you're having the same concerns. In Acts 2, the group at Pentecost had these same concerns. In verse 37, "And when they heard this, they were pierced in the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Brethren, what shall we do?' Then Peter said to them, 'Repent each and let each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins.'" As we continue reading down, we see that 3,000 souls were added that day. So my question is for you. There's some among us that need to make their life right this morning. How about now? Do you want to get rid of this anxiety, to have the confidence in confidence in God, that your sins have been washed away? If so, please come forward now as we stand and as we sing. Blue apology.